episode 3023, Maximize Your Love.
It's time to train for life and love your journey. In this episode of Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie, you'll learn new ways to rediscover, rejuvenate, and renew your mind, body, and spirit. Please welcome your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by.
Happy, happy day. I hope you have a smile on your face. It's the weekend, and you should be celebrating. And today, it's relationship builders. Yes, I want you to think about the person that you're sleeping with. Uh-huh. Do you know him very well? Well, you need to get to know him. You need to maximize your love. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, welcome to this incredible family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the KISSES newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy, Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, this episode is brought to you by AIM, Inspiring Connection and Community. So I got a question for you. What would happen in your marriage if you stopped putting your spouse in a box? No, I'm not saying your spouse is a mouse, but hear me out. Couples cannot thrive together if they are trying to do life separately. Maximize your love. Well, in order to do that, you have to answer a couple other questions, and they're not always the easiest things to answer. So let's go way back in time. How long did your honeymoon phase last? I'm not talking about how long you went away and just had that time away, maybe in another country, in a beautiful state, where maybe you were in the presidential suite. I'm not talking about that honeymoon phase. What I'm talking about is the one where you get married and then you're like a couple and you're living together like truly a married couple. Even if you lived together before, now you're really living together. You know, the one that your sweetheart could do no wrong, that phase. Well, you might be lucky if it lasted longer than 2 years, but in reality, it was probably a lot shorter. Life starts to spin out of control, right? You've got the bills, career demands, friends. You're searching for that real perfect job that you want. Household duties, yeah, you know about those. Maybe you have a fur baby or two. Maybe you have an actual baby that you didn't expect to have on the way. Then on top of that, you've got temptations and then everything else called life. And all you could do is just put yourself in survival mode. This is early on. If my spouse would just do this in this manner and repeat as necessary, life would be great. How many times did you say that to yourself after the honeymoon phase? And it's probably not exactly those words, but close to it. If my husband would just do this, if my wife would just do this, man, life would be awesome. If we could have sex every night, it would be fabulous. Man, if she would just have the house clean so when I come home, the kids are calm, I can relax, I can chillax, I can do what I need to do. But as months turn into years, you find out that what you thought marriage was supposed to be was completely opposite of what it was. All you could do now is to stay in your lane and not upset the waters too much or the boat would be tossed to sea. And that was an experience you didn't want to have to go through. You dreaded it. Why is it that we live our lives to minimize what matters in order to maximize what really doesn't? Think about that for a moment. Is that what you're doing right now, today? Not maybe right, not at this exact moment. But when you look at the last week or two, are you sitting there like, gosh, if I could just have him in this box, it would be awesome. If he would just do this, why can't he put the toilet seat down? Why can't he help me with the laundry? Why can't he help me with the kids? And all you're trying to do is just survive. And your thoughts are like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I just can't. And it becomes more self-serving and self-indulging that eventually your marriage suffers. And you're going downhill. And every once in a while, you get a breath of fresh air and you're like, oh, this is awesome. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh, deep dive down. Out to sea we go. So if you want to avoid this catastrophe, you have to be willing to maximize your love. That is your KISS to Keep It Simple strategy. Maximize your love. Now, what I'm speaking about here, when it comes to maximizing your love, this is not about controlling your spouse. Please hear that loud and clear. Okay, let me make sure I enunciate that. This is not about controlling your spouse, exclamation point. Okay, because I know I get these emails and people are like, Christiane, did you really mean that? I'm like, if you listen to the context of what I'm talking about, right? It's just like anything. We can take out a little portion and fit it to the narrative that we want to hear. So I want you to make sure you hear all of it in the context of what I'm saying. You can control only you. You can't control your spouse. You can't control your kids. You can't control your dog. You can't control your cats. You can't control how fast the grass grows, whether the rain falls or not. You can't control whether or not your car is going to continue to have oil leak from it. You can't control whether or not it's going to hold, you know, the tires. I mean, yeah, you can keep it running and service it and all of that, right? But you don't control it. And what do we want to do as a human being? Control. That's all within us. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that we use it the wrong way. Control is good when we have self-control, not control for self-indulgent. Big difference. You must be cautious how you look at marriage. Marriage is a commitment between two people, which requires two people to join together in a journey that is a two-way street. But somehow you find a way to compromise when needed and show compassion throughout the entire process. So, how are you doing with that definition? Are you one who says, yes, we're committed together, we're joining together in this journey, and yes, it's a two-way street, but somehow we find a way to work it out. Somehow we compromise. Somehow we go together on things. We find compassionate routes. We take detours for each other that in the long run benefits us all. We would be here for hours if I told you how much compromise, how much giving that I did for my husband. Seriously. But you know what? It wasn't just my decision in that. We decided on it together. But if I just told you my side of the story, you'd be like, gosh, Christiane, you really did sacrifice a lot. And maybe you would look at my husband and go like, well, you're a real jerk. Remember context here. Keep it in context. But you see, we were in a journey together, joined together, making decisions together, compromising together, showing compassion for each other together. But what happens is we get into marriage and we think, this girl, this man, he's going to work perfect in my life. And I'm going to use it from a woman's perspective. Because us women, man, we love it. We love not only to dream, but to plan. And the planning within our mind is as if it is real life. It's this reality that lives in our head. But all of a sudden, when we think, oh, we're so close, we're like, yep, he fits the picture. He fits into my box. This is going to be perfect. This is going to be awesome. And then you have one argument, one disagreement. Something happens. Bills don't get paid. You have to move. All of a sudden, this dream of yours that you now have planned out has now been demolished. And you're sitting there in the middle of a tornado going, I don't know. How did this happen? And you're just torn to pieces. You have no words. And your heart is now crushed. Most of us struggle at living that life of togetherness, that sacrificial commitment that says we're in it together, where the me becomes we. But that doesn't mean we throw in the towel and convert to our human ways of being selfish and indulging only in what benefits us as an individual and not as a couple. You can overcome that. And if you're stuck in that right now, and you're like, Christiane, well, we're way deep in. we really need to be getting out of it because, man, my husband's got me in a box. I've got him in a box. I got the kids in a box. I'm putting the dog in a box, and we are a mess. You would think we were moving if you walked into our home because we're all in our own boxes, living in these four walls. It doesn't work. But I'm here to tell you it can work. But you have to be willing to shed your boxes. You got to go out and recycle them. Put them in the recycle bin. Send them out with the trash. And do it the way God intends for marriage to be. And it's hard. It is so hard. But I'm telling you, you can get to it. I promise you. So I don't want you to feel like, Christiane, you know, you might be living this great marriage right now from where you came from. But you know what? I'm here to tell you, I still have ups and downs. My husband and I, we work every single day on our marriage. We are committed to each other. And a long time ago, we figured out together that it's better for us to do life together than it is apart. Because we had our tornado. We had that moment in time where he looked at me eye to eye and said, I've fallen out of love. My friend, I've been there. I've been down that road. But I'm also telling you, you can get out of the box. You don't have to stay there. But it is a choice, and it's a decision that you make. And remember, it's a decision that only you can control. Now, obviously, depending upon where you are in your marriage struggles and your troubles, that's going to depend upon whether or not you can have an honest conversation with your husband, your spouse right now. Okay? I mean, I'm being honest with you. That's all I am here. I'm going to tell you like it is, real and raw. But I tell it to you out of love. But I also want you to understand that there is a breath of hope always. Always. So if God's telling you don't give up on your marriage, then don't. Lean in a little bit more and listen up. And for those of you who are like, man, I just want to have a better marriage. Like, we're okay. But man, I really want to get on that high. We're getting older. The kids are getting older. And I see empty nesting coming and them moving out of the house. And then we're going to have us. You know what? I was talking to my mom, total sidebar here. I thought it was hysterical. We were talking about the kids. We've got a lot of things going on in the month of May, a lot of moving parts for them. And it's awesome, but it is, I mean, it is a schedule. Every single day in the month of May is a full-blown out schedule. And I'm just taking a deep breath because I'm like, I'm only 2 days away from this and it's all going to happen. I hope I can handle it. But I was talking to my mom and I said, you know what, Mom? Over the past few years, we've had incremental pay raises. And I said, eventually we're going to get the biggest pay raise ever when they all have moved out. And I thought that was hysterical. It made me laugh. But you know what? It brought some reality as to where we are. Okay? Where are you in your season of life? Where are you in the stages of life with your children? Because that matters on your marriage. And you want to be able to have the strong foundation that when the storms come, because they will, some bigger, some smaller, some just a little bit. But when they do come, you're prepared for them. So I want you to maximize your love. What does that look like in real life? Number one, the most beneficial thing you can do for your marriage is to prioritize your relationship. Period. We could just stop there and talk about that all day long. You've got to prioritize each other. If you don't, no one else will. The kids are going to pull at you. They're going to be like, Mom, I need this. Dad, I need this. Can't we go do this? I need this. You're going to have activities. Remember, my month of May is jam-packed. But if I don't at some point every single day prioritize my relationship with my husband, I'm not going to fill his love account. I'll only be taking out things, withdrawing. If you're always withdrawing from your spouse, what happens? Oh, it's going to dry up. You're going to get an overdraft fee. And you can only take so many overdraft fees. You got to overcome those. And that means you got to prioritize your relationship. You've got to spend time together. If that means you got to go out to dinner and you going out to dinner is literally just getting in your car and not going out to eat, but you're just going somewhere to sit and talk because right now finances are really, really tight. That's okay. You don't have to go spend money, but make time to do something together. When the kids go to bed, you two go to bed. Go have a movie, put it on. Put popcorn in a bowl. Get your favorite drink, whatever it is, and spend time together. Send little love notes once in a while, back and forth. Leave them on your bathroom mirror. Stick them in the briefcases. Send them a text. Now be careful when you send those texts, by the way, because if you're sending photographs, I'm just saying, okay, there might be an eye that's overlooking on the shoulder. So if there is something that is, you know, something that you want to lean toward with more intimacy, then maybe you should put a couple lines before it and then include that later on down the text. And then you can finish it off, if you know what I mean. Seriously, not that I have had any experience with that at all, but we'll leave that for another episode. But seriously, right? You got to prioritize your relationship because no one else will. And you can't sit here and say, well, I'm waiting for my husband to do it. I'm waiting for my wifey to do it. Really? Stop the excuses. You do it. You control you. I don't care which spouse you are. You got to take aim. Okay? Number two, serve with compassion. Kindness goes a long way. You've got to have a compassionate heart for your spouse. If you don't, who's going to? Think about your vows. Whether you wrote them, had the traditional ones, it didn't say, I'm going to love you till I hate you. Where in the vows did it say that? It did not. So you've got to serve with compassion. And that means you have to serve. That means sometimes when you're tired, you do it anyway. I know, been down that road. Somehow you find the energy to do it. But I will also say this. If you're prioritizing your relationship and you're serving with compassion, that means what? Your schedule is going to reflect that. So you better be saying no and saying yes more to your spouse. Seriously. Because if you're saying yes to everybody else and not your spouse, then we need to have a discussion. And I'm being honest with you. Because you're hiding from something or someone. Okay? I'm being real. You know, we're not going to sit here and just cover everything up and brush it under the rug. No, no, no. Our families need to be strong. And they only can be as strong as the marriage is. That's the beginning of the family. So prioritize your relationship. Serve with compassion. And finally, number three, live for each other. You know, it was very interesting growing up in a military family, Navy, Army, and I'm a preacher's kid too, so I am a mess. Actually, I'm not a mess. I'm a firecracker waiting to go off all the time. It's awesome. And in that position as a child, watching my parents do life, and one who I was a very deep thinker very early on, I don't even know, I'm sure my mom knew that. I know my dad knew that. They probably had conversations about it. And, you know, I was an only child for 4 years. I'm not saying that was a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just stating a fact. And so I learned a lot very fast. And so when my brother and sister came along shortly thereafter in my 4 years and then 5 years old, then it was interesting because I grew up. I was there to serve them and help them. And these are stories that came from my grandmother. Okay. I don't remember these exactly. I have a few pictures in my head, but I can't put words to them. But I do remember a couple things, and that's it, because I was very young. But what my grandmother told me was that I was one that I was given a lot of responsibility. And so when I grew up, over my entire lifespan of living underneath my parents' roof, I got to see them model what it was like to live for each other. Now, was my dad perfect? No. Was my mom perfect? No. Were they perfect together? No. But there was definitely love for each other. And my dad would go off would go off to war. He'd be sent off to train for the military. He'd be sent off to go and do missionary work. He would leave because he needed to make money, because I'm telling you, back then, pastors did not make money, okay? It was more than paycheck to paycheck we were living. We didn't ever go hungry, but it wasn't like we had absolutely everything. One thing we did have, though, is we were completely loved. And so when I look at them and how they modeled that, my mom, when my dad was gone, you know, my mom would do things. So when he came back home, it was to show him that, hey, hun, I missed you. And it was wonderful. You know, just the little things. And you got to remember, this was before cell phones. This is when you would write a letter and it would take 3 weeks to get there overseas. Uh-huh. And if he was out in the field, he may only get one mailing. It took forever because he'd have to go to one station, then he'd have to check it out, and then he'd go to the next, and it'd finally be delivered. It was a long process. But you see, they lived for each other. And even though they were imperfect human beings individually, coming together, they did find a way to make it work together. Even though they weren't perfect, even though they both screwed up. But when it came to living for each other, they were there. Are you there for your spouse? Are you wanting to see your spouse's dreams fulfilled? It's not just about your dreams being fulfilled. You've got to have that longing for your spouse's dreams to be fulfilled. I love that about my husband. He encourages me. He's like, are you done writing your book yet? Because you know you need to get it out there. I'm like, I'm working on it. And I am working on it, by the way. He's like, you got to get it out there. It should have been out there a long time ago. And then he'll ask me about the podcast and he'll share it with friends and colleagues, people he meets, strangers. And they'll say, yeah. And they'll ask, you know, what does your wife do? And it used to be very confusing. Well, that's a really good question. Now it's like, she's a podcaster. She's an author. This is what she does. You can find her on pray.com. You can find her on any podcast station out there. You can find her on YouTube. You can find her on Amazon, wherever she's out there. He's singing my praises. But guess what? I'm singing his too. You got to live for each other. It's not about you being perfect. It's not about you having all the right answers. But remember, go back to that definition. Marriage is a commitment between two people, which requires two people to join together in a journey. That's a two-way street. But somehow, you find a way to compromise when needed and show compassion throughout the entire process called life. Are you ready to maximize your love? Are you ready to say, that's it, no more boxes? It's about us now, together. Let me tell you, it makes life a lot more adventurous. Yeah, are things still going to be challenging? Are you going to get everything right? Are you still going to fight once in a while? Yes, yes, and yes, and yes. I don't know if that was enough yeses, but yes. But I'm here to tell you that when you do it together, it will always be better. But you've got to be willing to be wrong sometimes. You've got to be willing to also be right. You've got to be smiling even through the dark times. And know that God's got your back and your spouse's back. But you've got to be willing to do the work that he calls you to do. Maximize your love. So my prayer for you, my friend, don't let the sun go down on the day without lifting up your spouse and holding him or her in the highest esteem. Steward your love well. Go out, be present, be incredible, be you. I love you so very much. I cannot wait to see you on the other side. Blessings, hugs, and lots of love. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a glorious, blessed day. Bye-bye.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.